So Karen wanted to be gifting some money to her kids and doing a great thing by having them take over this IRA. And then she realized, whoa, this might cost a lot of money, to the tune of like over $100,000.
Hey, Matt Robeson with Mike Morton, Financial Life Planning. And that's what we're going to get into today. This story that kind of kicked off a question for Mike and for me of, what do you do when you're trying with the best of intentions to do a little bit of planning, a little bit of future planning, and you realize you might be doing it a little bit wrong in a very catastrophic way? So, Mike, you were getting a little bit into this story that you encountered with one of your clients. Why don't we back it up here? Set the scene for me. What happened?
Yeah. So this is Karen. She's got a son, and recently she's older. So she's in her late 70s, and I was working with her son. I've been working with her a little bit, and her husband had passed away 12 months ago, pretty recently. And so we're doing some planning together. We've been doing some planning. We're continuing doing some planning, and she's got a bunch of moving parts. So this is classic. It's like, oh my gosh, there's different accounts everywhere. You know, the listeners can understand this. We talked about it. Hey, we got right. multiple accounts kind of everywhere. What are we doing? Getting organized.
And you're trying to do this at the worst time of your life. You've lost your spouse and you're just trying to get a handle on like, what is where and what do I do with it?
Yeah. And in fact, we should put a pin in that, because I get a lot of questions from clients like, geez, I've gone through this, you know, a year ago or 5 years ago, and it was such a pain. What can I do to, you know, make it easier, you know, down the road?
You talk about classic psychological avoidance. We all hate doing this, right? We hate it so much. Who wants to plan for it? It's like, okay, you're in the middle of a plane crash. You want to be screaming at this decibel level. And it's like, no one wants to do this. It's, by the way, if you do want that experience, watch the movie Sully. It's amazing. It's so great. It's such a good movie. Oh, yeah. Like, I'm serious. Movie recommendations and okay. also planning for the rest of your life. Okay. So you're going through this really difficult experience with Karen.
Yeah. And she's doing great. You know, she's organized. It was not unforeseen, you know, so she's doing a really great job. But there are a lot of different assets. All right. She's got some, you know, a bunch of public assets, you know, taxable accounts. She's got her own IRA, and she's got her husband's IRA as well. And that's what we're going to talk about today. So it's an individual retirement account. Right. It's got $500,000 in it. She wants to gift some money to her son during this time. Like, oh, you know, I've got more than I need. I could do some gifting at this time. And so she's thinking, oh, the my husband's IRA had her as the beneficiary, but also had the son as a contingent beneficiary. So that means she's the beneficiary. So it's like, oh, my husband's IRA is going to flow to me. All right. And then there's logistical stuff to do. Or she could say, no, I don't want it. Oh. And then it goes to the contingent beneficiary, her son. And so that's what she thought. Oh, this is a good idea. I will say, no, I don't want this. Let me just gift it. You know, it will flow automatically from her late husband to her son.
I see. And that's, okay. That seems really common where, I mean, this, we've talked about this kind of thing before, where frequently people who are older, they want to, if they've amassed savings, or they have an estate, they want to see some of that money go intergenerationally. I'm not going to say that word. Well, let's not say that intergenerationally.
Look, to the next generation.
I did it. Well, now I feel great about myself. So see, here you are bucking me up as always. It's like Megamind. It's like you've been gifted with unfathomable powers. It's like on what? Without fathom. Okay. So they want the money to go to the next generation, which makes sense, right? You know, they're working or you've got grandkids. So this seems amazing if you could just skip a step and have it go directly to them. Do not pass go, right? And just go right to them. Okay. I'm on board.
That's exactly right. And we have talked about that. And I think it's worth mentioning again or having future episodes. One of the goals of many parents, of course, to support their kids, but financially support them as well if they can. And there's a lot of parents that are aging, you know, we're a generation like aging parents.
Yeah, some of us are aging faster than others.
Some of us are aging very
depends
quickly.
On our kids. That, you know, it's like one of my kids is aging me faster than the others. And it's like pop quiz. You know, what's funny is all my kids know which kid it is. Like, I don't know if this is true for you, but all my kids know which kid is causing me all the gray hair. So anyway, people should watch the video of this. I have gone entirely white. I'm like Keanu Reeves in the Francis Ford Coppola Dracula movie, like where all of a sudden in like 2 seconds, he goes entirely white. Well, that's me. Like, all right. So, and one of my kids is doing that to me. But notwithstanding that, yes, I would like to support my kids.
Yeah. Yeah. And especially at this time when we know expenses are kind of hitting the roof, right? So it's a great time to use money for your adult children in a time that's stressful and financially, you know, harder for them, and at a time that you can still see the money being used. So rather than leaving it at death, like, oh, if you can gift some now, like you get to really support them and have that wonderful relationship. So back to the story. Karen was doing that, thought, oh, this is a great idea, just easy. You know, here's a way of a mechanism of doing that. But the downside is actually has to do with taxes. And I don't want to get too complicated in the weeds. You can check out, I hope to post this, you know, in the show notes that'll have lots of tables and graphs. But what happens is in an inherited IRA, so it flows to the son, that'd be great, $500,000. It's called an inherited IRA. You have to empty it within 10 years.
Oh,
okay. So you got to take the money out within 10 years. So now we could do some math and taxes and tax brackets and see how much that would cost. In fact, because remember, you haven't paid taxes on the $500,000 traditional IRA. And so you have 10 years to empty it. Now, if you make some assumptions that Karen's going to live maybe another 15 years, she gets to empty it more slowly. If she kept that money, she can empty it more slowly and then pass it down. And it still gets another 10 years when her son gets it, you know, 15 years from now and continues to empty it. And so you're spreading taxes out over a longer period. And that's why you can save over $100,000, $150,000 in this case. So one $500,000 IRA, if you can empty it more slowly by keeping it, she keeps it. She can still make gifts and there's other ways of passing the money. Okay, but keep the IRA. She can empty it more slowly. Then at her passing, would get passed down. He gets to continue to empty it over another 10 years. So you get that tax-deferred growth, spread out the taxes, and it's worth over $150,000.
Do you find this kind of thing a lot where there are these little – I'm sure you do. This is like a dumb question, but there are these little things where it seems to make logical sense, and it's actually a trap door, and you have to kind of say, okay, what you're doing – totally makes sense. Here's the problem. And then you get the sticker shock moment of like, this could really cost you.
It's surprising, Matt, how many tweaks there are across, you know, financial stuff that I deal with that, yeah, I'm starting to make like a full checklist. There's so many, and in each area of, you know, 529s, right? We talk about all the time, or HSAs or IRAs or, you know, other account types where there are these strategies and tweaks and layers that you have to be thinking about or should be thinking about when the dollars get significant amount. This is $500,000 in a single IRA. That's pretty common. And yet, when you spread it over many years, the tax savings would be over $100,000.
Yeah, it's like that Natalie Merchant song that everyone was obsessed with my freshman year in college about like pennies and dollars just flowing out and the whole of your pocketbook is just growing constantly. For those of a certain age, that was very evocative. For the rest of you, don't Google it. The song's pretty terrible. And it was on repeat in dorm rooms all around me. I'm in therapy for this. Okay. Let's talk a little bit about just the retirement and inheritance angle of this, because that's really the focus of the story here. I mean, if you're creating a checklist, we can't possibly cover all of the many trapdoors that are out there. But just focusing in for a second on, you've got IRAs, you've got 401ks, you've got 403bs. Is this a more general problem with the beneficiary of those kinds of accounts? Is that sort of a generalized problem?
Yeah, absolutely. So you do have a lot of different accounts that are moving around. Part of the issue, of course, is we're trying to plan for something that we are making a lot of assumptions, when it's going to happen, how it's going to happen, and then who's going to be alive at that point, right? This is all of estate planning. It's like, who do you leave money to? How do you leave it to them? Who's going to be alive? So that's where we write into those estate plan in your will. Like, I'm going to leave it 50-50 with my two kids, except that they're not alive. It'll flow to their kids in equal measure. You know, so you're trying to predict all
the
family dynamics.
Just don't list anybody, right? And then they'll figure it out. That usually goes well in families. You want to sign up for crappy estate planning? I'm going to open a new business. It's called Looming Sunset, Matt Robeson Retirement and Estate Planning Advice. Just let your kids figure it out. No beneficiary. Am I right? I'm guessing.
Yeah, exactly. Don't leave any beneficiaries at all. Just leave them off. It's perfect.
You're not going to steal the looming sunset idea?
No. No looming sunset in this case. Wait, okay, the sunset, I get it. There's sunset provisions coming up here in a year and a half. That's a whole other discussion, Matt, which actually factored into this story as well. There were a lot more moving parts, you know, with Karen, and we had to create a whole bunch of like, hey, here's the goals, here's the assumptions, here's the thoughts, and one of them is the sunset in another year and a half, which is going we're going to start talking more on this podcast.
I was talking about a more gruesome kind of sunset, to be honest.
Ah, oh, jeez, missed it again.
It's all right.
So, and the beneficiaries, like you did ask, what happens if you don't, like, hey, just don't list anybody as your beneficiary? You really don't want to do that? So we're going to get to some action items here. Like, you definitely, the accounts you mentioned, you want to have beneficiaries. Why? Because if you don't have beneficiaries now, the probate court in the state, you're leaving up to the state, the probate court, or the plan administrator. So like for 401ks, 403bs, what they're going to do is if there's no beneficiary on there, it's going to flow first to the spouse, actually, in most cases. And that's actually an important point I'll come back to in a sec. It goes to the spouse, then it would go to kids if there is no spouse, and then it just goes to the estate. Or it might just go to the estate, all right? Now, that's a problem because normally you have that stretch. Like I said, you had 10 years to empty the account. That could be reduced to 5 years, okay, if it just goes through the estate or through a trust. So that's important to know. There could be adverse consequences if it just goes straight into your estate rather than leaving it to individuals. Oh. That's why I always recommend leaving it to individuals or to a trust. So you do want to have beneficiaries. So first action item, which we'll try to remind you at the end of the episode, is like go to your retirement accounts and make sure they have beneficiaries. And my recommendation is not only beneficiaries, but contingent beneficiaries. I mentioned that in the story, and it's really important because that allows for planning down the road. So we're trying to do the best planning we can now, but if you have beneficiaries and contingent beneficiaries, then it allows for post-mortem planning. That first beneficiary could say, I don't want this, and pass it straight to the other beneficiaries.
Just to make sure that I'm clear, so what happens is if you don't have a beneficiary listed for one of these accounts, 401k, 403b, IRA, then the amount of money that's in the account could be considered part of the overall estate. And then the assets in that account, the money in that retirement account, would have to be paid out within 5 years potentially. And that means that you're really clustering all of that tax payment in a short period, and it could cost you a lot more, kind of per the Karen story.
Yeah, it could even be worse. It could have to be like liquidated to be paid out in certain ways, certain instances, you know, liquidate the whole account to pay certain, you know, because of how the estates are going to work, or the probate court's going to decide like, hey, you've got to pay money here, here, and here. Oh, we've got a 401k. You got to liquidate it to pay out the money. And so then you're really getting hit with taxes. So just avoid the whole situation and make sure you list beneficiaries on all of your accounts.
Is that easy to do?
It's super easy.
Yeah.
Yeah. In fact, this is one of the easiest things to do. Most of now we're used to the online logins, right? So you go to wherever you have your account, and right there it's going to tell you. And it's usually not even like a form that you have to fill out.
You don't have to
it's
like
usually
notarize
you can just kind
it.
Of name it. No, it's usually like you can just change it right there. There's like a little field. So make sure you spell the names correctly. Make sure you include like juniors or thirds or seniors or whoever it is at the end. But usually it's very straightforward to change that stuff.
Got it. All right. So are there other accounts? I gave kind of like the big three in retirement circles, IRAs, 401ks, 403bs. If you're listening to this and you're like, all right, smarty, you say that this is easy. I'm just going to go do this. And by the way, no time like the present. Like, seriously, I want people to listen to the rest of the episode, but you could just hit pause. Or while you're listening, you could literally, like, if you're near your laptop, just log in and do this. So while you're at it, anything else you need to check for this kind of beneficiary thing?
Yeah, well, first of all, check all of your accounts. So that's another action I like. Make sure, we've talked about it before, have a list of all the accounts that you own. That's just good in case something were to happen to you, or good planning, or good to, because usually we'll find something like, oh yeah, I forgot about this long ago account that I have somewhere. That happens all my clients, you know, Matt, say that, like, oh yeah, and there's this small account somewhere. I got to find the login. I'm not sure where
it is. You know, the situation is the worst for me of anyone you've ever worked with or that I know. You know this story, right? You know that I own a small piece of the Empire State Building. This is a true story. My grandfather, oh my gosh, my grandfather, for some reason, invested in the Empire State Building, I think before that great ape attack. And I don't know what portion of it, but this is something that was inherited by not my father, but by... Or I think by my father. I see. I don't even really know. And I've got a cousin. It gets worse. I've got a cousin who lives in Mexico, oh boy, who kind of knows the details on this and tried to get me to sign a bunch of documents a few years ago. I got confused. It never happened. And so there's an account somewhere that maybe belongs to me or maybe doesn't. And it entitles me to go in and move into an office in the Empire State Building or something like that. I don't know.
Awesome.
I own this pane of glass and it's worth some money. And if I get hit by a bus, it's just going to evaporate.
That's right. Your kids will never inherit that brick. You're allowed to go and like sign your name on that brick. That's what you're allowed to do. That's
the Empire State Building, for people who haven't done like tourism in New York, and this is like a long gone thing, it used to be the secret best place to go in New York City. Like, I would bring all, because I grew up in Manhattan, I'd bring all my friends who came to visit. You know, I'd say like, look, this is the thing to do, because the view was great. It was actually better, well, before the World Trade Center was destroyed. It was actually, it was the best view in the city. And in the basement was the Guinness Book of World Records Museum. It was amazing. It was just the best tourist experience imaginable. And, you know, anyway, I own a piece of that.
That's awesome.
So, all right. So even
other accounts,
even preliminary before this, you should know what accounts you have. But then
you should know what accounts
all of them should have a beneficiary.
Yes, for the most part. So all your retirement accounts, you know, should have beneficiaries. We mentioned the most popular ones, but there's other ones out there. So just making sure whatever ones you have, if they have beneficiaries, you know, that they're listed. And then a lot of your checking accounts, that would be other popular account, checking, savings, or a joint brokerage. So a lot of those are joint, all right, with you and a partner. And so that's fine. That's going to flow directly to the partner, but they can also have transfer on death or pay on death. So it's like a beneficiary. You can also fill out someone else in there too, a lot of times, for where they could go to. And that's always a good measure just to, you know, again, make sure that your money is going where you want it to go.
What if I was making light of this a moment ago, but this isn't easy for some people to just name a beneficiary. Or, you know, what if you have a couple of kids? Is there, you must work with clients who are like, wait, I'm not sure that I'm ready to take this step. What do you do?
Yeah. A couple things. Like, first, you know, you do have to put some thought into it. All right. So if it's not simple, like, oh, I got two kids and I'll just split it 50-50. If you're not in that situation where you're trying to work it out, you have to work it out. All right. So you've got to like figure this out. Now, a lot of it, if you want to leave money to other places like charities or stuff like that, then, you know, that's where a trust comes in, where you can really design, you can leave money into the trust, and the trust can have all kinds of provisions. I want 10,000 going here, want 10,000 from my dog, and then, you know, split the rest 50-50 between, you know, my two kids. So a trust can do that. And then especially if you got minor kids, you might want to consider a trust, so that there are certain, you can put in age provisions in there and all kinds of stuff. So a trust can be very useful in those. And you can have the beneficiary for these accounts be a trust. Okay. So it flows into the trust. I did want to circle back before I forget on the spouse. I mentioned earlier, like your 401ks or IRAs, they're going to flow kind of directly to the spouse if you don't have beneficiary. This is really important for those in partnerships, not like you and Matt, where our, you know, Matt, our partnership is fantastic. But if you've got, you know, previous partners.
Wait, hold on. Maybe, are you talking about our podcasting partnership or our actual spouses?
All of
we have actual spouses, just so people are clear about this. They are two separate human beings. They also happen to be friends. I mean, you know, that which is great. But yeah.
It's bizarre.
Right.
Yes. I meant all of the above. Our partnership, but also with okay, our good. Spouses.
Correct. I just thought you were maybe about to list me as a beneficiary, in which case it's spelled R-O-B-I. All right, go on.
Exactly. So you want to be aware if you've got previous spouses, if you're divorced, if you've got, you know, other partnership kind of relationships, that's not just like, oh, you know, we're a great partnership. You just want to be really aware because they do flow directly to a spouse. And so you want to be specific if you want to go in somewhere else. And then also the other point is, if you and your spouse or partner do agree, like, oh yeah, you know, this is a second marriage. It's great, but I want to leave some money to my, you know, kid, right? From my previous marriage. Cool. Make sure that, you can put the beneficiary as your kid, right? No problem. But sometimes they will still try to force it over to the spouse. Okay. So sometimes you have to fill out a form that has a spouse's approval to skip that person. All right. And so just be aware of that, that that is a thing that, that they do, you know, really look out for the partner, the spouse in this case, and the 401ks, the 403bs. So if you agree, it's got to want it to go somewhere else, you might want to look for that extra piece of paperwork that gets a spousal approval.
Got to admit, it sounds complicated. I mean, it's nice that the naming of the beneficiary is easy. And I'm just realizing that the tricky part is everything that goes before that, which, I mean, look, I maybe I should launch another side business. It's brought to you by the people who created Looming Sunset Estate Planning Services. I'm going to do Shattered Plates Family Therapy Services so that you can work out all these complicated relationships.
Shattered plates.
Before you, you know, and it's like, yeah, okay. Right. So you have to know what accounts you have. That's important. You need to make some decisions, and maybe you've had changing family circumstances, life circumstances. You should really check off like, okay, I may have named a beneficiary. Maybe I need to name someone else. Maybe I've never worked this out. You know, so this sounds like kind of both a something of a set it and forget it, but you have to check in on it type thing. It doesn't have to be a long exercise. And the critical thing is making sure that you've named beneficiaries on all of these accounts.
Yeah. Here's the one takeaway. Just go to your major accounts where there's significant money and make sure there's beneficiaries. Boom. And if that elicits more like, ooh, I'm not sure, or I don't, then you go to steps two and three. But first, just go to your major accounts that have the most money and make sure they have beneficiaries.
Well, that does make it sound a lot easier. Or I'm just saying you could hire Shattered Plates Family Therapy.
Or just go
services.
To Shattered Plates.
This is a side, the two of us could do this, man. This would be such a great side hustle. It would be like good for families, but we could do it.
Yeah. Shatteredplates.com.
All right.
Check it out.
anything else that people need to be aware of?
No, I think that's good. I mean, I think really just that single action item, make sure you get beneficiaries. It's really important. It can save you hundreds of thousands of dollars doing advanced planning, right? But that's, you know, taking it to the next level, which is really critical for some people. But first things first, just make sure you got beneficiaries on those accounts. And then if you realize, hey, yeah, there are a lot of, you know, bigger things here. There is a lot of estate planning type issues. And then you got to take some more steps, you know, from there.
Sounds great. Well, while you're at it, if anybody finds my piece of the Empire State Building out there, just drop me a line, will you? All right. That'll take it to the end for us. For Mike, I'm Matt Robeson. We will see you next time.
Thanks, Matt.
Thanks for joining us on Financial Life Planning. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to and rate the podcast on Apple iTunes or Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. It makes a massive difference. If you have a comment or question, please email me, mike@mortonfa.com. Until next time, thanks for tuning in. This recording is for informational purposes only and should not be considered for investment advice. Opinions expressed are as of the date of recording. Such opinions are subject to change. I cannot guarantee the accuracy or completeness of the data presented here.